Let's face it, the old way of coaching and then hoping your reps use your coaching goes out the window with Balto. Every day your reps get coaching during calls, and you get data to show you how to give even better coaching that increases sales. You can use that data and make coaching changes that go to every rep with the push of a button. It's very next level. You can see how Balto works at balto.ai/product-tour. Let's get dialed in. You're dialing in to the All Things Telesales Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lynn. If the phone is your weapon, this is your podcast. We're changing the perception of telesales. We're a tribe of telesales professionals who believe in compassion before commission. We're empowering the call coaching experience by starting with the person and salesperson. When we take care of the person, the calls take care of themselves. All right. Welcome back to the All Things Telesales Podcast. I have the go-giver himself, Mr. Bob Berg. How are you doing this morning?
Good, Jake. Thanks for having me with you.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. So, you have a lot of mini course. I saw a mini course on your website about selling the go-giver way and a lot of great content, a lot of value that you bring to the sales industry. So tell me a little bit about that journey. How did you go about, you know, the go giver and giving into the sales industry?
Well, began as a broadcaster first on radio doing sports and television news. I was the late night news guy for a very small ABC affiliate in the Midwestern United States. Wasn't particularly good at it though. And it wasn't long before I found myself having graduated into sales.
Oh, wow.
The challenge, though, was I knew nothing about sales on any kind of formal level. I had no training. And the company where I started, well, we'll say that their training was negligible, meaning non-existent. So I was pretty much on my own. And again, I had no idea what I was doing. I just hustled and made a lot of calls and knocked on a lot of doors and was on the phone a lot and did all the things, but didn't really know what as the old, late great Jim Rohn, used to say, I had the motivation. I didn't have the information. Right. And so, basically I was spinning my wheels. And now, of course, it's all, you can have the information, but you also need the motivation. So it's not an either or, it's an and. But certainly the information, the know-how is very important in our field. Fortunately, one day I was in a bookstore and came across a couple of books on selling. Now, that doesn't seem like a big deal these days, but 40 years ago, sales books were just really not as prevalent as they are now.
Right.
So I was inspired just to know there were books on how to sell. I had no idea it was even a thing. Okay, so one was How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins, and the other I think was Secrets of Closing the Sale by Zig Ziglar. Two classic people, two icons. And I remember getting those books, and what I would do is after work every day and until the wee hours of the morning, I would read, study, practice, highlight, underline, take notes, and do it over and over and over again. And within a few weeks, Jake, my sales really began to go through the roof. And what this told me was that if you have a methodology, you can pretty much accomplish anything within reason. So I call it having a system. And I personally define a system as simply the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles, the key being predictability. If you learn that by doing A, you'll get the desired results of B, then you know that all you need to do is A and continue to do A and continue to do A, you'll eventually get desired results of B. So that was a big boost to me to know that. I had a methodology. The neat thing, though, was in studying sales, which now became, an obsession with me. I just loved it. You also learn that sales is really more than the how to even. It's about the personal development.
Absolutely.
So I started getting all the books that I'm sure you have as well, and right. all your listeners have, and right. You know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think yep. and Grow Rich, The Magic of Thinking right. Big, Psycho-Cybernetics, right. you know, As a Man Thinketh, all these great classics. And I got to build myself on the inside and see success manifest on the outside. So it was really just a matter of knowing that, studying sales, putting my own sort of spin on certain things, learning an important lesson that when it came right down to it, selling is never about the salesperson. It's always about the person whose lives we're touching through our product or service. It's never about the product or service. It's about that other person and how their life will be better as a result of having us as part of it and through our product and service and whatever else we bring to the table. So, you know, that really is, you know, is pretty much it. After a while, after being sales manager for another company, I just started teaching it myself and really enjoying it.
Right. Nice. Yeah. So for our audio listeners, Bob's got a lot of books back there. So, it looks like the journey started, from books and then, becoming obsessed with information. And now you give out a lot of information and methodology. So was Go Giver, was that more of like, building out as you said, finding a methodology? Do you feel like that's a methodology of a sort?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what happened that I think really inspired that, although I didn't know it at the time, about 2 years into my sales journey. And I had changed jobs and was now working for another company and selling a high ticket item. And I found myself in a slump. And, you know, as you know, Jake, as a sales professional, there are a few things worse than finding yourself in a slump. And in getting out of that slump, you tend to do the very opposite of what you should. You focus on yourself as opposed to others. Yep. And I remember coming back to the office one day after a non-sale, and I must have looked pretty disgusted because there was a guy there at the office. He was a much older guy who was not even in the sales department. I think he was in the engineering department, and I think he soon retired after. He was one of these guys who, and we all, I think, know someone like this. He didn't say a lot, but whenever he did, it was usually pretty profound.
Right.
And so I think he saw me as Joe, who I would write about along with John David Mann, that we'd write about 20 years, 30 years later, whatever it was in The Go-Giver. But Joe, the main character in the story, is he's a young, up and coming, ambitious, aggressive, hardworking person who just is totally frustrated that he's not achieving the kind of results he should. And I think this gentleman, whose name I don't even know, I don't know if I ever knew it. I probably did, I think he saw me sort of as Joe. And he said to me, Berg, he was a last name kind of guy. He said, Berg, can I give you some advice? I said, sure, please do. I need it. And he said, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money as your target. Your target, he said, is serving others. Mm-hmm. Now, when you hit the target, you'll get a reward. And that reward will come in the form of money. And you can do with that money whatever you choose. But never forget, he said, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It ain't the target itself. Your target is serving others. Now you take, you know, and again, I never put this together when John and I were writing the book, but law number one, the law of value, which is really something I learned from Wallace D. Waddell's 1910 classic, The Science of Getting Rich, is to give more in value than you take in payment. Okay. Which doesn't mean you're not making a profit. You're making a great profit, but your focus is on providing such immense value to another human being that they feel, rightly so, that they are receiving a lot more than what they're paying for in overall value. While of course you make a very healthy profit, but it's that focus on the other person. And that I think was really the big thing for me. And that's really what started the Go-Giver methodology, if you will, which I first kind of wrote about in my first how-to book, which was Endless Referrals. Subtitle was Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales.
Right. Absolutely. I love it. And even In Think and Grow Rich, it says, don't be a go-getter, be a go-giver.
Yeah. So, you know, and here's how I interpret that, okay? Because, well, you know, we know what Napoleon Hill meant when he said go-getter. Right. He meant a go-taker, right? That person focused on the take. We love, of course, go-getters. Right. And Napoleon Hill was a great advocate of being a go-getter in terms of effort, right? We know that.
Right, for terms of effort.
Right. Yeah. So we always say, but we know it's semantics because we know what, you know, what was meant. So we always say, be a go-getter, a person of action.
Right.
And a go-giver, a person absolutely, totally laser focused on providing immense value to others. Just don't be a go-taker.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I love it because everything we're talking about really lines up with our mantra of compassion before commission. So I love that.
And compassion before commission ends up resulting in more and greater commissions. Right. And that's the thing. When we understand that shifting your focus, and this is really the premise, if you will, of the go-giver, that shifting your focus from getting to giving, giving again simply meaning constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, it's understanding that doing so is not only a nice way, a pleasant way of conducting business. It is, but that's not the point. Right. It's also the most financially profitable way as well. Not for some way out there, woo-woo, magical, mystical type of reasons. It makes very rational sense. When you're that person, Jake, and I know this is how you do business and what you teach, when you're that person who can take your focus off of yourself and place it on that other person, discovering their wants, their needs, their desires, helping solve their problems, helping make their life better, people feel good about you. People want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in a relationship with you. They want to do business with you, and they're happy to refer you to others.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, if you want to get something, then what are you willing to give to get that? And like you said, we have to give an immense amount of value. And let's say somebody's struggling with how do I give value? You know, how do you walk someone through, you know, in terms of finding their value and teaching them how to give their value?
Well, I think it's first important to understand what value really means. Okay. So where price is a dollar figure, right? It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Value can be defined as the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, what have you, that brings so much worth or value to another person that they will willingly exchange, in this case, their money for that and be ecstatic that they did. Now, by definition, that means that value is always in the eyes of the beholder.
Right.
And as salespeople, we've got to understand that they're buying for their reasons, not ours. They are buying because they find something to be of value. So we add value, we bring value by discovering what the other person does value. Now, you know, there are certain things when we begin a relationship, we can pretty much rightly assume that most people would value the focus being on them, value being asked questions that allow them to express their wants, needs, desires, or it could be when you're in an initial conversation with someone, asking questions that allow them to just talk about themselves and feel good about themselves. I mean, there are many ways. Other forms of value is through providing information that that person would find helpful, connecting another human being with another human being, doing so appropriately, of course. There are many ways to bring value within the entire process, from when you first meet someone, through the relationship building, through the follow-up, follow-through, sales process, referral process. They tend to come down to five elements of value, you know, which is excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. And to the degree that we can communicate this type of value to others at every touch point, that's really the degree that we take both our competition and price out of the issue.
Hey, it's Jake Lynn. I got a quick message from our sponsor. Are you an insurance company? Want to increase your quote rate and close rate? Check out Balto, the number one real-time guidance platform. With Balto, insurance reps sell way more because reps get coaching during every call. There's no more coaching after the call and hoping that your reps use the coaching. There's only more sales. Check out a case study in the show notes to learn how Balto has helped top insurance companies increase sales.
Oh, yeah. I love it because I have this methodology that I coined called PEG, praise, empathy, gratitude for the call center industry. And, and you just nailed it. Everything that we teach is exactly the same. I love that. That's awesome. And yeah, so with all this in mind, what are you most excited about these days?
Well, you know, we continue to really promote the Go-Giver and the series of books with them. Go-Givers Sell More, the Go-Giver Leader, the Go-Giver Influencer, everything sort of goes from there. But my business partner, Kathy Tagenell, and I, and she's just so brilliant and so fantastic. We have a certified Go-Giver speaker program where we're people who are successful in business and want to be professional speakers. They license our materials. We teach them how to build a professional speaking business. We have a, you had mentioned the course, the mini online course, Selling the Go-Giver Way. We have a big one called Endless Referrals, the Go-Giver Way, an online video course. So we're pretty excited about all those things. We're just, you know, having a lot of fun in it. At 62 and a half years old, I'm much more interested in having fun than anything else.
Right.
And just loving it. And then, you know, it's a nice thing to wake up to every morning.
Nice. I love it. And speaking of fun, it's one of my favorite questions on the podcast. What's the most fun you've ever had on a sales call?
I think it was, well, aside from just getting to know some great people, right? You know, I mean, that's one of the neat things about being in sales. You really get to meet some wonderful people. But I think it was the time that I went in to do a presentation. I mean, I made a cold prospecting call and she was very nice, but she was totally not interested.
Right.
And I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, you know, I'm interested about your business. Tell me more about it. Now, this is, by the way, I don't mean tell me more about it where I didn't do my research. I mean, I didn't, but this is 40 years ago and it wasn't like we had the internet and I was just actually going around making, I was selling advertising and I was literally just making cold calls. So I didn't really know much about it, but it wasn't about give me information about your business. It was just tell me more, like I was genuinely interested, which I was.
Right.
Okay. And I just, tell me more about your business. This seems very fascinating. And she just started talking and talking and talking and eventually said, tell me more about your advertising. And she actually purchased that day.
Nice.
Yeah. And when you think about it, and I mean, she was a sweetheart. She was a very, very nice person who was passionate about her work, but really she just wanted someone to listen to her. You know, when she said no, she wasn't interested. And again, she was nice about it, but she was just very firm. She wasn't interested. And instead of, I could have just said, okay, well, thank you. Or I could have tried to overcome her objection or whatever. Right. But I just said, yeah, that's fine. Tell me more about your business. It sounds fascinating. And now, I mean, she could have said, well, no, I'm really not interested in telling you, but most people are interested in telling you. And and that's how it went. And we referenced that in Go-Givers Sell More, that conversation about how sometimes just listening is the very best selling we can do. But it needs to come from a place of authenticity, as opposed to some kind of manipulation.
Yeah, that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Right. <We're listening. laughs> Yeah, that's great. And do you feel like, was that something that you were trained to ask in an objection? Like somebody wasn't interested, you just authentically, would you say that when you started doing that, was that more of a natural thing or was that more of a trained thing?
I don't know if that was natural to me or if all the reading I had done and the paying attention I had done to the different trainings kind of just said to me that
this kind of came out of
shut up more and listen, you know, less, listen more. So, yeah. And then I saw how, you know, it's very, very effective. The more we can listen, you know, the better we're going to be at what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And just a pro tip while we're on that is, you know, don't be afraid to hit the mute button while you're listening to someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and nowadays on Zoom, it's kind of a social cue if you're if you're hitting, they, everybody could see you hitting and mute, and right. they may take it the wrong way. But especially if you're on a phone call, like on a cell phone or something, you could hit mute, or on your desk phone, you could hit mute and listen. And then that gives you a second to go back and unmute yourself. And then you, you know, then that way you can write down and repeat back what people were saying. But yeah, what do you think about, you know, whenever you are listening, what are some tips like to repeat back and things like that, or to continue to show interest of what the person's saying, to continue the conversation, or how do you engage in active listening?
Well, it is important, I think, to provide encouraging clues that you're listening. Okay. Yeah. But I also think it's very important, just sort of picking up on what you were saying, that we want to make sure that we are understanding what they mean by what they say. Because, you know, as you know, we all come at the world from our own unique viewpoints and experiences and models of the world and so forth. And so a lot of times, you know, we may think this person may say something and we may interpret it to mean a certain thing, but that's based on our way of seeing the world.
Right.
So one of the best things we can do is say, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you correctly. When you say X, and yeah. then kind of summarize what they're saying. Because, and when you say it that way, you know, with an I message, you know, just for my own clarification, or just to be sure I'm, you know, right, understanding,
right.
then it allows that person to not feel defensive and to not, you know, to not feel like they have to just be polite and say yes. Because remember, if you don't really understand what they're saying,
yeah,
that's when you're just opening the door for unnecessary objections later on.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So we really want to make sure that we understand, and that when we say something, we need to make sure that we gently and tactfully clarify to make sure they understand what we meant based on what we said.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what do you feel like is the best way of handling objections and the whole, you know, rebuttaling? I've always taught sales reps, you know, just ask a follow-up question to their objection, you know, keep the conversation going. How do you typically handle objections?
Well, Jake, I think one of the biggest things for us to understand is that what a prospective customer or client says as an objection may or may not be the actual exactly. objection. And I'm not saying they're lying. Now, right. not that that can't happen, but if they are, that's right. different. That's a trust question. That means the rapport is not there. You right. haven't earned their exactly. trust. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about a lot of times when a customer says, you know, let's just go, the price is too high.
Right.
And it's not that the price is too high. First, there's a couple things there. One, it's that, you know, the value you've communicated is less than the price they're being at. But it's also this, they may have questions that are unanswered that they're not even sure that they have, but they're not sure that they don't have, and right. they don't know enough to communicate them, but yeah. they have this kind of, if you remember the old Spider-Man comic book, they have the Spidey sense.
Right.
That, you know, there's something about it that doesn't quite feel right, even though they don't know what it is.
Right.
And so what do? They default to a, your price is too high. Mm. Right. So yeah. I think the first thing we need to do is always make sure that we're getting to the correct objection.
Yeah.
That we're getting to the right, the actual, the root of the objection,
yeah.
not the manifestation of the objection, which is your price is too high.
Right. So then isolating, getting down to the root of what the objection really is. And yeah, I love it because you said, you know, the price seems too high because I haven't communicated enough value.
Yeah. So why not? You know, what, and you're not asking them why not, you're asking yourself why not? What, right. what, in what way have I not? And it probably goes back to the discovery session at the beginning where you didn't ask enough questions or the right questions to discover or determine what they really needed, wanted, desired, what their personal challenges, issues were, what success looks like to them in terms of your product or service, what would happen if it didn't, where are all the, and again, this depends on your product or service. But that's why to the degree that your discovery is great,
Yeah.
That's the degree that the prospective customer or client is going to show you exactly how to connect the benefits of your product or service with their needs, wants, and desires.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, when they say the price is too high, and you know, you might say something like, yeah, it certainly could be. Or if you say, so you're thinking X amount of dollars is too much to pay for this MacGuffin or whatever. And they say, well, yeah, I do. Well, it certainly could be. If I may ask, what kind of results would you need to see in order to be able to justify this kind of investment?
Right.
Okay. So there's a couple things we did right here. One is that we didn't make them feel defensive. Yeah. Okay. We didn't try to overcome this objection, right? First thing we said is, you know, we reflected back to them to, you know, to make sure. So you're thinking X dollars might seem too much for this investment or seems high for this investment. Well, yeah. And then you say, could be. If I may add, now, when you say could be, you're not agreeing with them. Okay. You're not saying, oh, what was I thinking? You know, no, you're just saying could be. You're letting them know it could be that ultimately it's up to them. It's about them. It's not about you making the sale. It's about them being happy. And exactly. So it's what I call the out or back door. Okay. You're letting them know that this is something very much worth discussing. Okay.
Right.
Could be. Okay. And then if I may ask, what kind of results would you need to see in order to justify this kind of investment? Now you're asking them a question that now they can kind of go in and sort of codify what it was that was bothering them. Well, I'd really need to know that if your widget should break down, that the servicing, blah, 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 you know, whatever it is. Okay. Yeah. Now they've told you, now it's not a matter of your price is too high. It's that we know that widgets tend to break down and we're not comfortable knowing we can get stuck with downtime costing right. us tens of thousands of dollars. That's different yeah. than your price is too high. Now, we just did a very elementary example, but right. that's basically how we want to approach it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And so I'm a big fan of icebreakers and putting comedy and humor into sales. And how about you, Bob? Are there any like one-liners or any icebreakers that you typically would train a rep or that you like to do yourself?
I think it depends on the person and yeah. their style. You know, some people it's their natural way to be a certain way, and they can not only get away with it, but it ingratiates themselves and endears right. them to people. Other people, if they did it, it would sound contrived and, right. and forced. So sure. I think it depends on the situation.
Right. Depends on the sales rep and the prospect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why pre-call preparation is so important.
Oh.
Yeah. You kind of visit somebody's LinkedIn profile, get a feel for, you know, like you said, you're 62 and a half years young, and you like right now you're focused on having fun. So knowing that, you know, I want to make the podcast as fun as possible, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, you know, anyone who, if they were going to sell me, and if they learn anything about me, it's going to be that I'm relationship oriented. Okay. Yeah. That I've got to get to know, like, and trust. Now, again, this is if it's a sale of any type of, you know,
right.
serious consequence, not a, you know, nickel and dime thing, but, they'll also find out about me that I'm a fast decision maker. But that I'm also, relationship oriented.
Right.
And so a lot of times people think those who are relationship oriented aren't necessarily fast decision makers, but that's not true, necessarily true.
Right.
I don't want a lot of details. And they'd also find out about me that I am a convenience buyer. Okay. Status doesn't mean much to me. Bells and whistles are a turnoff to me.
Right.
You know, to me, it's the technology. I don't want to, you know any more than I have to. I'm yeah. a convenience person. When you build a relationship with me and make it simple for me
right.
and make it so I don't have to jump through hoops,
right.
you've got the best chance of having a client. Absolutely. And it's very easy to find out about that about me if you study me. Now, with other people, it's a matter of studying not only them and their interests, which are also important, which we can easily find by doing a very easy search, but about their company,
right?
About the issues in the company, the issues in their industry, you know, what has happened lately that makes things a little right. You know, so we can always go in there. Art Subcheck, who's a great friend of mine, a man for whom I have immense admiration. He calls it smart calling instead of cold calling.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the key. I mean, if we're working a serious market, okay, we've got to know as much about that person pretty much as they know themselves, especially as it relates to how our product or service can help them. And the more we know going in about them, obviously that, you know, that just helps immeasurably.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great segue to wrapping up our podcast. If somebody wanted to research Bob Berg, where can they find you?
Best place is Berg, BURG.com. Again, I'm a simple guy. <It's all right>. And pretty much everything's there, including they can, you know, get an excerpt or chapter from any of the books in the series, as well as, you know, visit, hang around, see what resources there are fun for them.
Nice. All right. Appreciate you, Bob.
My pleasure, Jake.
Visit allthingstelesales.com for additional resources that can help you drive more revenue. Did you like today's episode? If so, subscribe so next week's episode will be available for you. And if you really like today's episode, leave a 5-star review. It's a good way to get the word out there. And if not, check out another episode. Maybe then you'll be able to rate the show 5 stars. Anyone you'd like to hear from on the show, send an email to podcast@allthingstelesales.com. I love to hear from you. Don't threaten me with a good time.
This episode was off the hook.